Welcome to Whole Living, the place to get expert advice and fresh ideas about eating well, going green, staying fit, and much more. And now, here's your host.
Starting your shopping? Starting to run out of ideas before we've even begun here? You're listening to Whole Living on Martha Stewart Living Radio, Sirius 112 and XM 157. I'm Terry Gisbicio, and I know that a good book is always a great gift. Especially when the book is carefully chosen for the person and you know that they may get something from it or just enjoy reading it. But it can be tricky. That's why I invited an expert, someone who has done her homework and knows what books would be great for what people. Joining us now is Lisa Davis, who's creator, host, and producer of It's Your Health Network. She's at itsyourhealthnetwork.com. Lisa, help us out. Are you a real bookworm? Do you like giving them or do you like getting them?
I am a major bookworm, Terry. I like giving them. I love getting them. I read about 4 to 6 books a week. My husband.
Wait. I kind of, quote, read 4 to 6 books.
No, I really read.
I read the intros and stuff.
No, well, I'm a little nutty and my husband's on the weekend. So let's do this. I have to read. So my New Year's resolution is to cut down to 4.
Oh, my God. But, and do you read all different kinds of stuff or do you tend to?
It's all in the health field. But, you know, it's so interesting. I mean, we've got mind, body, spirit, mental health. And I tell you, I'm very well-rounded now.
So people expect you to write. I mean, there's always that person in your life, right, that you expect to give you advice for. Even if you don't give someone a book, you know, there's certain people who always ask you, well, what book should I read? What's the next book I should read? I know my mom always asks me what should I read next? Or she's recommending books to me. And it's just such a fun thing. But hey, buying books can get expensive, which is why it makes such a great gift.
Yes.
And I wanted to, before we dive into our list of suggestions,
sure,
I want to give out the number and let people know that we'd love to hear their book suggestions, whether they're just good reads all around, you loved it, or if you have an idea, a book you read would be great for a certain type of person. Maybe you moms out there, busy moms, found a book that would be great for other moms, or something else. We want to hear your book suggestions, 866-675-6675. So usually women, I assume, are buying and gifting the most books. I'm assuming that. I don't have statistics to say that, but don't you think so, Lee?
I would think so. I definitely would. Although I know a few men that are bookworms, if you know, you look around the house, and I think I'm almost caught up with my husband. So.
Well, in terms of health titles.
Oh, no. He's more into like historical and horror fiction and stuff like that. But yeah, in terms of health, you know, I'm really lucky because I'm connected with a lot of folks in the publishing industry, and they send me lots of great books, and it's so fantastic. I mean, every day I get to open the door, and it's like Christmas or Hanukkah,
and there's a book on my doorstep.
So
I love that, too. That's one of the perks of my job.
Yeah, isn't it?
Lots of great books. So let's talk about some of the ones that have come across your threshold lately that you're a big fan of.
Okay, well, the first one I'd love to talk about is by Vivian Diller, PhD. It is a co-author of Face It, What Women Really Feel As Their Looks Change. And I chose Dr. Vivian Diller's book because she was a model in the 70s and a ballerina dancer. And then she became a therapist and she had to face at an earlier age what it was like to have your looks sort of fade. You know, in the modeling industry, it's like you're 20 and you're over the hill.
Yeah, you're
right?
30 or you're like a senior citizen in the modeling world.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So she decided to become a therapist and really focus on women's issues. And what I love about Face It is it's an optimistic book. You know, it provides realistic solutions for women who are struggling with their age. And Terry, you know now more than ever. I mean, our culture
is... Why, that my looks
are
fading?
No!
No,
I meant to say, well, everyone knows in the culture, it's ridiculous. No, you're gorgeous, but it's ridiculous how much emphasis and I heard that half of all women 40 to 50 are getting Botox. And what's interesting about the book is Dr. Diller isn't necessarily opposed to that, but she's more like it has to come from a really good place, not because you feel like you're not good enough or that you should be ashamed of how you look. And there's a lot of issues in the book about women feeling guilty about aging, which is, you know, it's a natural process that we're made to feel bad about it. And so to really arm yourself with the knowledge and make sure you're doing it
for the right reason.
Exactly. And she
Yes. Aging is not an illness or a condition.
No, it's not, but it makes it seem like it, you know, and nowadays. And it's funny. I remember my mother when I was young, she would put creams, and it wasn't the same obsession as it is now with all the plastic surgery and everything. So it's definitely a different world. And I think so now more than ever, this book is so timely. And I think another thing, too, is there's a secret battle that's waged within that leaves women feeling isolated that she talks about. And I think that if we can be open and saying, yeah, it's kind of tough getting older, but let's look at all the great things that we've done and our accomplishments and our families and our, you know, the people in our lives and what's important to us.
Yeah, here's the question, though. Sure. Who do you give this book to?
Yeah, that's
exactly.
Give
it to your friend who just turned 40? Because it's like, that's probably dealing with like, whoa, I can't believe I'm turning 40 kind of thing. And then you give her this. I mean, who would you say is it's a good idea to give to,
you know,
or maybe not?
It's so funny, Terry, because that's, even though I love this book, I was thinking that too, because it's that sort of double-edged thing of like, oh, I think this would really help you. And at the same time, they'd be like, well, what are you trying to say?
Exactly. Got to be careful about that.
That is a tricky one. Honestly, I mean, I think any woman over 30 is... As far
yeah,
as I'm
any
concerned.
Woman over 30. Well, because we, look, we're not going to look the same at 35 as you did 25.
No.
And sometimes we just, I think, women become more beautiful in lots of ways.
I
but
think
of course,
so too.
If you take care of yourself,
exactly.
I mean, you let it go, right?
So, yeah, well, that leads me right into my next book, actually, is Elizabeth Tenhouten. She's the author of Cooking Well, Beautiful Skin. And Elizabeth is so wonderful at looking at beauty from the inside out. You know, she talks about the antioxidant-rich foods that you eat, and then it really will improve your skin. So, you know, blueberries and pomegranates and nuts and avocados. And one of the things I love is that she can walk into your kitchen, and let's say you have an avocado on the counter. She can make a great facial, you know, treatment, and then you can eat the other half. Well, that's
oh,
me.
I love that.
She joked with me that I'm the only person who does that, but I like to eat as well. And the other thing, too, is, you know, like apple cider vinegar, you can use that to improve acne. You can make a great body scrub from honey and brown sugar. One thing that was neat is you can freeze whole milk, make little in ice cube trays. And then if you have a blemish, you can hold it on your blemish and it'll decrease the inflammation.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. This book has
lots of
fun stuff. And the other thing, too, is you can get your girlfriends over or like a teenage slumber party kind of thing. And the stuff is really inexpensive and you can have a blast. It's like, why pay tons of money to go to a spa when you can do it at home?
Right. The book is called, that one is called Cooking Well,
Beautiful Skin.
And over 75 antioxidant-rich recipes for glowing skin. And what?
Oh, I was going to say, she also has wonderful recipes. We made a pretty poached salmon and it's this really good antioxidant berry glaze and it's blackberries, raspberries, and honey. And you just put it in the blender and you literally make this in minutes. So you cook the salmon, 10 minutes? You can steam up a little spinach and throw in a little garlic and you're going to eat yummy food and look great doing it.
That's such a great thing to think about in the new year. And remember, we're going to blog the titles of these books.
They'll
be like,
awesome.
I missed that title. I missed that one. We'll put them up later today on MarthaStewart.com/radio.
Yeah.
Again, the two books we talked about so far, Face It, What Women Really Feel as Their Looks Change by Vivian Diller and Cooking Well, Beautiful Skin by Elizabeth Tenhouten. And again, we're speaking with Lisa Davis, who's a creator, host, and producer of It's Your Health Network. And we're talking about great books to give as gifts.
Yes.
We're at 866-675-6675. And I'd love to hear your recommendations. They don't have to be, I mean, we're talking about newish titles. But if you have a standby book that's a great one that you think makes a wonderful gift, we'd love to hear it right now. And we'll add you to our list, 866-675-6675. Now, when you talk about cooking and dieting books, my fear is, do you give it to the person who's trying to lose weight? Like, here's a dieting book. I mean,
well, you know what I love about the books that I have is they're not, the focus isn't on weight loss. And it's funny, whenever I talk to people about, you know, eating healthy, my goal is more just so they feel their best. And if they lose weight, that's great. But I think what's so great about these books, and I'll start with Kelly Keough, is she's the author of The 100 Best Gluten-Free Recipes for Your Vegan Kitchen, Delicious Smoothies, Soups, Salads, Entrees, and Desserts. Because, you know, Terry, now more than ever, so many people are into vegan eating. And into gluten-free. There's a lot of people with celiac disease or maybe they have some other issues where they just don't want to be eating a lot of gluten. And what's so great is that the book has great recipes if you're a beginner, if you want to start with something familiar. You know, she takes classics and turns them into vegan, sugar-free, gluten-free dishes like hot tamale pie, gourmet garden burgers, and sweet truth pizza, which she uses a gluten-free crust for that.
I love that.
Yeah, and she also, what's really cool is that she also has techniques for sprouting and dehydrating and soaking, which if you want to do like the raw vegan kind of thing, which is, you know, all the rage. And what's really cool too is she uses a new sweetener, something called coconut nectar. And that is for people who are avoiding agave or fructose sweeteners. It's very low glycemic and you can use it in place of those other sweeteners.
Where do you find that?
You can find that at Whole Foods. Also, if you go online and if you look up coconut nectar, yes, some of these things can sometimes be tricky to find, but if you go online, you can
What form is it in? Coconut nectar comes as a liquid?
Yeah, it's a liquid.
And you can use that in place of, say, agave?
Yes.
Agave nectar, I've used that too. It's nice to try all different kinds of alternative sweeteners that are natural, but I hear from people saying, hey, corn syrup, tequila, whatever the plant, the tequila plant, whatever, agave, it's all the same thing. Liquid sugar is sugar is sugar.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think a good reason to read Kelly Keough's book is that she actually will talk about how sugars are different and that there are some that do at least affect your blood sugar in a different way. So some of these recipes are good for diabetics, but I completely hear what you're saying. It can be kind of overwhelming, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be vegan. I mean, we talk about that a lot on the show. I interview a lot of vegans. You don't have to be vegan to benefit from some vegan recipe, some vegan, incorporating more vegan practices, right? I mean, are you a vegan or raw?
What I am, and this is interesting. This brings me to another book. I actually am into the paleo diet. And the paleo diet...
Oh my God, we talked about... Tell everyone what that is. It's kind of interesting.
Well, Rob Wolf, who's the author, this is a book I highly recommend, is The Paleo Solution, The Original Human Diet. And it's looking at how we ate a long time ago, looking at hunter and gatherer. So we're going to be eating things like grass-fed meat and free-range chicken and wild fish. Yeah. You're going to eat a lot of healthy fats, nuts, seeds, avocados, coconut oil, and olive oil. And you're going to eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. I mean, basically what it is you're not eating grains, dairy, or legumes. Now, I'm not 100% paleo because I got to get my legumes in.
There's nothing wrong with any of these other foods. I think that's the tricky thing when you hear about different diets. Like, well, what's wrong with dairy if you can deal with dairy? Explain then what is the reason for ruling out those foods?
This is what's so interesting is according to Wolf, there is science supporting cutting out grains, dairy, and legumes. He talks about everything from weight loss to diabetes to autoimmune diseases, multiple sclerosis. He talks a lot about gluten really being tough on the digestive tract, legumes as well. So
you cook it? I mean, back in the day, you're living in a cave, you're probably ripping an animal's leg off and gnawing on it.
Oh, no, I'm cooking it.
Okay, good. So it's basically lots of fruits and veggies and meat, so stuff that is not processed, which brings us back to the whole foods instead of processed foods argument. But it's interesting if there's someone in your family who's really into health and is sort of feeling stuck, maybe they might want to try. It's just kind of a fresh approach.
I think so too. And I think it's funny because people, when they know I'm in the health field, they always assume that I'm a vegetarian. And I say, no, I actually eat a lot of meat, but it's all grass-fed meat. So it's high in omegas and it's labeled.
Now, I want to ask you, though, about this one on your list you have here, because I have heard good things about it, which is Devin Alexander's book.
Devin is a gem. Devin Alexander is the author of the New York Times best-selling Biggest Loser cookbooks. She's written Healthy Decadence, Fast Food Fix. What I love about Devin is she's going to take your favorite foods and just make them lower in calories but still taste fantastic. Now, the interesting thing, Terry, about her new cookbook, the Biggest Loser Dessert Cookbook, is that it's all natural. She doesn't use any processed anything, not even fructose or cane juice.
Really?
Yep. Low-fat, low-calories.
Sugar?
She will use she'll use different types of sweeteners.
Okay.
Yeah.
But not fake sweeteners.
No.
Artificial.
No Splenda. Okay. No sucralose all that kind of stuff. And, there's more than 80 recipes. And what's cool is, she offers bake sale options like fudge swirl peanut butter cupcakes, go blueberry cobbler mini loaves.
Real paleo style.
Yeah, I was about to say. That's what I like to provide people with all kinds of choices because everybody's body is different. One of the reasons I eat paleo is I feel better on it. When I eat a lot of grains, I don't feel well. I wake up with what I call a food hangover. I'm really logy and tired and I don't function. Whereas my husband is like the grainaholic, all whole grains, and he feels great. So I think a lot of it is how does your body react? How does your body feel? She also uses a lot of fruit, so the naked apple tart, cherry vanilla almond parfait. She's got frozen treats, and she likes to say she's obsessed with chocolate, so she made a really nice, rich chocolate sauce that she uses. She's got drinks. Devin is just so creative, and she works so hard in her kitchen, and she really is such a wonderful person also. I've had the pleasure of talking to her several times, and her energy, and it just comes out through her food, really. She's
fantastic.
So
that's the Biggest Loser dessert cookbook. And is this something that, I mean, the connection with Biggest Loser is what? The people who are on that show eat this? I mean, or is it just sort of that's the branding of it? Like, no, I get confused with that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. They're actually in the book. So if you're a fan of The Biggest Loser, you get to read about some of the folks, what their favorite recipes are. But yeah, it's recipes that they're eating as well to help them maintain their weight loss.
Okay, so that's a good.
Yeah,
good
so if you're a fan. But you know, I wanted to mention, you mentioned Whole Foods earlier. I kind of think of myself as a whole fooditarian. I keep wanting to coin that word. You know, I don't eat processed foods. And if you want a book about whole foods that is absolutely gorgeous, Mariel Hemingway, Mariel's Kitchen, Simple Ingredients for Delicious and Satisfying Life. Holy moly, that book is beautiful. The colors, and she's got little pictures of her dogs and her eating and her garden. And, you know,
it's like a lifestyle kind of thing. So if someone likes Mariel Hemingway, they would probably really appreciate that book.
Oh, I mean, and it's not only that it's aesthetically pleasing, the recipes are delicious and they're all whole food based. And what she uses in a lot of her recipes, they're gluten free. Also, she uses almond meal and she makes these amazing spinach pancakes that have an almond meal base, which is basically just crushed up almonds. And even if you have like an almond meal flour, it really is just that they're just very finely processed, but it's still the whole almond. And she makes something called bliscuits, which are delicious, of course. And she has turkey and veggie sausage you can make. She does a lot with grass-fed meat as well. So it's kind of similar, actually, to the paleo solution in terms of using foods in their whole form, not using a lot of grains. She does use a little. But what I love about Mariel's book and what sets it apart from other books is she divides it by seasons. She gives you, like, in the summertime, this is what's fresh. And in the wintertime, you can look for this.
Oh, that's good. That's helpful.
Yeah, and I love that. And then she also has recipes for breakfast, lunch, dinner, dessert, and snack for each season. And some of my favorites, in the fall, for example, the winter, she has a fall vegetable paella. In the spring, she has an almond and garlic crusted chicken breast. In the summer, she has a Vietnamese chicken lettuce wrap with mint basil sauce. And in the fall, she has a grass-fed beef pot roast with mild mushrooms and cipollini onions. And that's a flat sweet onion. They're sometimes hard to find. Sometimes they'll have them at Whole Foods. I use Spanish onions instead, and she recommends that, and that worked out fine.
Well, that's a lot of great food titles. And again, I mean, the food and diet and cooking titles, and we'll put those on our website later today at marthastewart.com/radio. Again, my guest is Lisa Davis, who is the host and producer of It's Your Health Network. And we're taking your calls. If you've got recommendations for books that you think would make great gifts, 866-675-6675. Let's not leave out the men.
Yes.
So what title would be good to buy for a man? Or does it have to be a single guy or a married guy?
Well, you know, I think what would be really good, and, you know, this actually, after the fact, I thought, you know, this is kind of good for both. But there is a great book, and it's by Joe Navarro, and it's called Louder Than Words, and it's all about body language, and it's really fascinating. He was in the FBI for 30 years catching spies, so he put his, you know, body language tools to the test. And what's really cool is he gives you like a list of, you know, look at every part of your body, your eyes, the way your face is, your hands, your fingers. If your feet are pointing in which direction, it means you want to end the conversation. How to succeed in business. It's really a book about business. And if you want to do your best and, you know, not to make a pun, but put your best foot forward, if you know these things, because a lot of this is subconscious. And when you bring it to your consciousness and suddenly it's like, oh, geez, I shouldn't be making that face, or I need to be more aware of what my body is telling other people. And Terry, the thing I found most fascinating is it's not your face as much as the rest of your body. And it also has to do with, this was interesting too, is who are you hanging out with at work? And, you know, what the higher ups kind of can tell from that and, you know, things like that. It's a really interesting read. I recommend that to men. I think men would be drawn to it, but it's also addresses for women as well. It has business wear for men and business wear for women and things, just little things that you wouldn't really think about. And when you read it, you'll say, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense.
There's so many great books like that out there. I mean, if any man you know has not read Freakonomics, like those kinds of books are always really interesting. Or anything, if you know a man in your life has not read any of Malcolm Gladwell's stuff, he will not be disappointed by those. Those are really kind of meaty, interesting. You know, they're backed by studies. They got fabulous writing. So if someone in your life, a man in your life, or a woman, of course, these are books anyone would enjoy, but you know, probably you might not get your husband the Biggest Loser Dessert Cookbook. You probably want to get him something that's a little bit, you know, a different kind of read.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely.
But then, of course, we don't want to... Yeah. It could be either. It depends on the person you have in mind. So,
another book, I think, though, Terry, that would be good for men is David J. Pillay's The Law of the Garbage Truck, which is actually, I think...
What's that?
Oh, God, this book is great. Basically, The Law of the Garbage Truck answers a question on everybody's mind, which, you know, it's hard enough managing my own happiness. So how do I deal with the negative people in my life? I mean, we're all going to run into rude waiters or moody coworkers, difficult bosses. And a lot of people like to dump their stuff, okay, nice word to use, on other people. So the book is about how to both not be a garbage truck yourself and dump on others.
I'm trying to figure out what the garbage truck is.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, and then how to not take on other people's garbage. It talks about the difference between being a garbage truck and venting. And a big difference is when you vent, you usually say, hey, I had a tough day. Is it okay if I, you know, Terry, I had a hard time. Can I tell you about it? Versus you walk in the door and immediately I'm like, this jerk cut me off and da-da-da-da-da, you know, and laying into somebody. And especially around the holidays, this book is good because you might have that certain aunt or uncle or cousin that is kind of a garbage truck, unfortunately. And this is a good book to kind of help you help them, help yourself. It's a lot of fun. He's a wonderful writer. And he also has this Taking the Law of the Garbage Truck Pledge, which you pledge not to be a garbage truck. It's pretty cool.
Because it is. You have to have a discipline about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we do wind up walking in the door and just dumping on the people in our lives. And it happens, but being a little bit more mindful of it doesn't mean you can't and shouldn't talk about or vent about stuff. I mean, some of that stuff makes the most interesting conversation. I wouldn't want someone who's like, my day was great, everything's wonderful.
Oh,
like, that's not very interesting.
No, that isn't very interesting. And that's what I think he talks about. But I think what's interesting, too, is that you can also be a garbage truck sometimes in a positive way, meaning maybe your spouse or your partner, friend or whoever comes home and they from work, and you just lunge into something really exciting and they're exhausted and you want them to share your excitement. We've all been there and they don't. And then you get mad because they're not as excited as you. And it's like, you know, sometimes people just need to come in and take off their coat and relax for a moment and then sort of engage. So it kind of talks about, you know, personal space and that kind of thing too.
Good one. 866-675-6675 if you've got questions. Or if you want to ask about books, I'm going to guarantee that if it has to do with health and wellness, Lisa's probably seen it. She's probably read it.
Yeah.
And she can give you suggestions. If you have someone in your life that you're trying to buy a book for, give us a call. Maybe we can help you out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'd love to talk next about Carol Ward's book, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Carol Ward is an amazing woman. She is a therapist, and her book is called Worried Sick: Break Free from Chronic Worry and Achieve Mental Health and Physical Health. And it's written because a lot of Carol's patients were talking to her more and more about worry, you know, with the economy is getting worse. And then Carol's mother's health started to deteriorate and it caused her to face a lot of worry. And she talks about the difference between chronic worry and situational worry. She talks about the mind-body-spirit connection. She talks about body and your, you know, resting your body, getting a lot of sleep. And what's great is that she has a lot of things you can put into action. I like a book that actually kind of guides you along. Because if you're a chronic worrier, you're kind of stressed out. You know, you need someone to take your hand and say, okay, look, this is how you do this. Here's a visualization. Here's how you can write in your journal. And each chapter ends with the three C's. She has calmness, clarity, and community. And the calmness has suggestions for movement or breathing to help calm the body. And the clarity has suggestions to help the mind unhook from negative or looping thinking. And the community, you know, reminds us that it's so important to have a strong community and friends and to get support that way.
That's a great one for anyone you know, maybe your mother, maybe your good friend or your sister or someone who really is a worrier, can't seem to get off the worry train. That one's called Worried Sick.
Mm-hmm.
Break free from chronic worry to achieve mental and physical health. Remember, we'll post all of these titles and more that we don't get to on our radio blog at marthastewart.com/radio later today.
Yeah, you know, and Terry, some things that can cause worry are, you know, arguments with your partner. And talk to me like I'm someone you love. Relationship Repair in a Flash by Nancy Dreyfus is a one of a kind book.
I love this. This is a great one.
Oh my God, isn't this so terrific? And she is such a gem. But it's a spiral bound book that actually has 101 flashcards that couples, families, and other people in close relationships can use to, as Nancy writes, quote, turn conflict into connection. And like, you know, she has cards like, I realize I'm overreacting. Can you give me a minute to get sane again? Or I love you. I hate fighting. Can we please hug? And what's great about the book is that it's, you know, it's divided into sections like shifting gears, setting limits, feeling vulnerable. You know, some of my favorites are I feel like a total and complete idiot. you are not crazy. I can see why you'd be upset with me. And I don't feel heard.
And these are cards. I mean, yes, they're in the book, but the thing that makes this really interesting is you don't just read those tips. You're supposed to use them.
You're supposed to use them.
How?
Yes.
How are you supposed to use the book? Explain to us.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I think what you can do is, I mean, people might think it sounds funny, but if you're in a heated argument and you just say, excuse me, and you just get the book, flip to the page, flip it over and hold it up, you're definitely going to diffuse what's happening because they're going to be like,
You don't even say it. Just hold it up. What's the point of that, not saying that? Because you could say those things, but her whole point is showing it instead of saying it. Why do you think?
Well, I think sometimes it's hard to find the right words. And even if you say it, you know, whenever people are talking, there's a tone, right?
Right.
You might say, I'm so sorry. And you sound frustrated. But if it just, you hold up a card and it just says, I'm so sorry. And again, this is where we can go back to Joe Navarro's book and know about our body language. I just think it's more powerful. I think it's going to help the person see that you really want to connect and you're not going to, again, tone is tough because I'm really sensitive to that. And so for me, I just think it's fantastic. And it's, you know, it's funny, Terry, the way that she developed this is there was a marriage counseling session she was doing like 20 years ago, and the wife was berating her husband, and Dreyfus just wrote this down on a piece of paper, talk to me like I'm someone you love. And she told him to hold it up. And immediately the wife's tone changed and the tone of the conversation changed. And then from there, a terrific book was born.
And I love that just the title alone is that, you know, the people that we love, we often talk to the worst.
Yes.
I am totally guilty of that. We don't say nice things often to the people who we love. But if you think, what if you really love this person, could that come out in the way you speak with them? It's a great reminder and a good book. I think it might be one you buy for yourself or for you and your partner together.
Yes.
Because I think giving it to someone still, it could be, depending on who it is, it might be if you have a friend who's going through a hard time with a relationship, that could be a good gift for her.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to give that to your partner because it's here. Go fix our relationship.
It's exactly.
You know
what I mean? No, I think it's one that you would buy for yourself. Like, it's funny because so many books come to the house and my husband will pick them all up and look at it, and some he'll read more. That one, he just sat down and started reading. He loved it. So I thought, oh, that's cool. So that's why I think it could be good for both men and women. And I speaking of men, I want to make sure I have a chance to talk about Francesco Clark. He is so inspiring. He wrote Walking Papers, The Accident That Changed My Life and The Business That Got Me Back on My Feet. When Clark, he was 24 and he got paralyzed in a diving accident, and Clark would not take no for an answer. I mean, the doctor said, you're not going to get any movement back in your extremities. You're going to have to stay on a breathing machine. So what he did is he started to fight, and he eventually was breathing on his own. He regained movement in his upper extremities. And I used to work in adaptive physical education, and I work with a lot of folks who are quadriplegics, and the people I worked with maybe had the tiniest movement in their fingers. When I met with him, his arms were moving. It was incredible.
Wow.
And you know, he shares that his recovery has been in part due to his insisting on innovative medical treatments. He went to China. He did a stem cell procedure. He does physical therapy 5 hours a day. And then from the accident, his skin started getting really broken out and dry and flaky because he wasn't sweating out the toxins. So he, with his father, who's a holistic physician, or he's a physician with a holistic bend, they actually created Clark's Botanicals. And it's huge now. It sells in Saks Fifth Avenue and a lot of other high-end stores. You can get it online. And I met his family, and this was a big part of, I think, the reason he did so well. I've never met such loving people. I actually turned to them and I said, could you adopt me? Because they laughed. I said, no, I'm not joking. Such an inspiring. So if you want a book that's going to lift you up and inspire you. And another one is by Hillary Williams. If you're a country music fan, Signs of Life, she is the granddaughter of Hank Williams, the great granddaughter of Hank Williams Jr. She was in a horrific car accident. She had to relearn to walk 3 times. She had 20-something surgeries. It shares a lot about Hank Williams and his wife, Audrey. It shares stuff about how they grew up very simply, despite the fact that their father was this huge country music star. So I think I like reading books about triumph. I like reading books about people who will face really hard times, and they just have such chutzpah, I'll say.
And what was that? What was the
title? That one is called Signs of Life.
Signs of
That's
Life.
That's Hillary
and the other
Williams.
One,
the other one
was Walking
is
Papers.
Walking Papers.
By Francesco Clark.
Very inspirational books. I think for the holidays, it's nice. And it just lifts you up. And it makes you feel like anything's possible.
What about parents? What any books that you saw
I have a great book for parents. For parents, I love Ada Calhoun's Instinctive Parenting. What's great about Ada is that she felt like when she was pregnant, she read every single book, what to expect when you're expecting and what to expect and what you should be eating. And it's a little, and should I do attachment parenting or what should I do? And it gets so overwhelming. And it's hard enough when you have a new baby, but when you have all these demands that we put on ourselves, we have to be the perfect parent. She says, you know what? Just let's step away from all that. We do like books, but, you know, step away in a, you know, in a sense, and gauge what works for you and your family. And
yeah,
don't beat the
people
heck out of
trusting themselves.
Yes, and don't beat yourself up so much. You know, I mean, she said, I bet Gandhi's mom didn't even eat the kale 4 times a day, you know, like What to Expect book, or, you know, if you're co-sleeping with your child and people give you a hard time, or if you're not co-sleeping with your child, or if you have a pacifier, or if you don't. I mean, there seems like everyone has an opinion. You go to the playground, you go on the blogs, you go on the sites, everyone's going to tell you what to do, but you've got to do what's best for your family. And she looks at 3 really important issues, you know, love, shelter, and food. And, you know, she said, look, if you want to get a really expensive bassinet that's $12,000 or whatever, that's great. You can get a little basket. You can get a box. I mean, whatever you want is if you're loving the child, it's really
right.
Individual
puts
choices.
It really in perspective. Again, that one's an instinctive parenting, trusting ourselves to raise good kids by Ada Calhoun. Lisa Davis, this has been so helpful.
Oh, thank you
so much for your help. And we're going to post these on MarthaStewart.com/radio. So if you missed a title, make sure you check in there.
Well, I had a blast. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much, Lisa. And you can check her out at itsyourhealthnetwork.com. When we come back, we'll give you a little insight from the editor-in-chief of Whole Living as to what's going on in the brand new issue coming up in a minute on Whole Living and Martha Stewart Living Radio, Sirius 112 and XM 157.